How much revenues do we make out of selling this product?
I mean, we're at a 40-50 lakh revenue per month.
Right.
Whenever the platform is making some changes, whether you like it or not, you go on with it.
Welcome to my podcast, Grow Your Influence. And on this show today, I have Adi. Adi is the founder of Cook TV, one of those channels that I personally work with. They have more than 1.5 million YouTube subscribers and almost 1 million plus Instagram followers. Well, a passion turned into entrepreneurship always becomes successful, and this is a classic example. You're gonna get some amazing insights on Instagram growth and YouTube tips. Let's watch this. So first of all, I'm so excited to have you on this show today. I've been watching you on YouTube, been watching you on Instagram, I've been watching your stories, and I think what you've done in the space of creating a cooking channel, which is very unique in itself, and all of those videos that you do is absolutely amazing. So congratulations for doing great there.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here as well. Like I told you, this is the first time I'm sitting across someone and having a conversation just being recorded. So
I think it's just the beginning of your podcast journey.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So I have this question. We'll start with some interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. How did the idea of Cooked TV happen? Yeah. So what's been your background, and how did this start for you all of a sudden?
So to start with, I have zero background in cooking.
Wow.
Like a lot of other people out here, I'm an engineer. Specifically computer science engineer.
Okay.
Which gives you the freedom to do whatever you want in your life.
Right.
So we all study engineering, then we end up figuring out what we want to do. I'm also one of those people who finished engineering and then started thinking, what should I do? And I'll not go into the whole journey of what I did right after engineering and during engineering and stuff. But cooking is something that I was always passionate about. So I cook a lot. Like I was reminded by some of my family members that even when I was 7 or 8 years old, my father used to come to home to take nap in the afternoon. And I've been making coffee for him since then.
Wow.
And I don't even remember that until someone pointed it out. So whatever little I could do at every point in life, I've always been doing. And that's something I kept doing throughout my life.
With respect to cooking, basically.
Yeah, respect to cooking.
Nice.
So what happened was, at some point, I realized that the kind of recipes that are there on the internet, I don't think, first of all, there are enough recipes on the internet. When we started Cooked, and whatever recipes, I've had a bunch of experience where we have had, you put all the effort into it, you buy all the fancy ingredients, but you end up with a poor result.
Right.
So the quality of recipes was something that I found out is not great. And I decided if you have to do something in this space, we want to build a brand in this space, we want to make revenue out of it and all those stuff. But we decided the first thing that we should probably be doing to get into a consumer's kitchen is to give them nice recipes.
Nice.
And the way that they're going to think about the brand again is, I tried their recipe, it was great. And that's the way we get into their mind. And that's exactly how we started things at Cooked. And that was the starting point.
This is how long back?
It's 3.5 years back.
Wow.
To be precise.
3.5 years, 1.5 million subscribers and 1 million followers on Instagram already.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what was the first video all about? When did it start? Like exactly what made you think, okay, let's do it? Was it COVID? Was it COVID?
Or no, it's before COVID.
Okay.
So I didn't want to start it as a pet project or a YouTube channel, right?
So you were very serious that this is
we were very serious. Like we wanted this to be a business. Whatever it is today, it's a business.
Right.
Irrespective of how much revenue we were making in our early days, we still call it as a business and we want to run it as a business. So this was my business after my first startup.
Right.
So first startup, we scaled it. We scaled it to a level, we got an exit as well. And I'm doing my second stint. So which means that on day one, I was serious. Until the time that I decided we were going to do Cooked, there were a lot of different ideas that we were contemplating. But the evening that we decided we were going to do Cooked, the next day we went ahead and ordered a camera and other equipments for 10 lakhs.
Wow.
So it was like, you're in, you're all in.
So you're saying that you are very serious about your content creation game. You said no trying and testing. From day one, we'll go all quality in, basically.
Yeah. So there was no thinking about, let's start with mobile cam, then we'll upgrade and all. I think that's a brilliant idea as well. I always am in for something starting lean. But when we decided it's a business, It's just that you're getting all in, you're going to make it work, you're going to ensure that on day one, your content is going to be top notch. And that's what we wanted to do with every video. The first thing that I kept repeating to me and the first two, three people who hired was, it's not about how cool or how nice the video looks, it needs to. But when someone sees that, they should feel that I can make this.
Right.
Can we bring the, I don't know how to bring a replicability factor into a video, but if at all we have to work towards something, let's work towards that.
Right. So you basically never thought like a content creator. No. You were thinking like an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was thinking like an entrepreneur and I was thinking like a cook, a home cook.
Right.
And what does a home cook want? What are the things that I would want to be super clear in my videos? If you notice something, probably cook would be the only channel, only recipe brand who would be giving measurements for salt.
Right.
Because I was conscious. Thevayanala uppu in Tamil solluvanga. What is thevayanala? What is the required quantity? That only I don't know. That's why I'm watching your video.
Right.
So we wanted to be clear about that on day one. So those are a few things. And people talk about the resting time, soaking time and stuff, right? Those instructions would be very ambiguous.
They never defined, you're trying to say.
Yeah, they were never defined. And it, even if it was, it would be very ambiguous. So we wanted to make sure everything was properly recorded and properly mentioned it on the video.
Wow.
So we were very particular about that. Even the first video, like you did ask for the first video, right? I mean, very simple story. I wanted to start auspicious. And every festival and every celebration, my mother makes sakra pongal.
Wow.
I ended up using that sakra pongal recipe as the first ever video I've cooked.
Super. So that was a sweet start.
That was the first video. So even in that video, exactly how much time to soak your dal and rice, how much time to pressure cook your dal and rice, how much water to add, how much milk to add, everything was precise from the first video.
So basically you're saying that detailing is very important.
Yeah.
And that's where your differentiation is also.
Yeah. Because there was 100 other people creating recipes.
Absolutely.
How are we going to be different?
Right.
The quality is different. Great. But apart from it, if someone tries the recipe, they're going to end up feeling that I've never made a sakra pongal this good. I never knew I could make it this good.
Right.
And that's the end result. We wanted to focus on the end result. And the end result translated into everything, the single thing that went into the video.
Right. Amazing. How confident were you when you started your first video?
I mean, today, it'll be easy to say that we were always bullish. But even then, the first thing that I said after cooked on Instagram crossed 1 million was, I always knew this will happen.
Right.
I didn't know when.
Right.
I didn't know how quickly. So that's on day one as well. I was always bullish that we'll anyway become the biggest brand here in this space. Even though there were a lot of other brands who were in millions and stuff. But I was always bullish that we'll reach 1 million, we'll reach 2 million, we'll probably reach 10 million. Because we were very clear that we want to make it happen. So there was no second thoughts about that.
How did you overcome your camera fear?
So it's a funny story. Like the first time we bought camera when we were doing test shoots and stuff, I couldn't even look at the lens and speak. The cinematographers then instructed me, look at the logo maker at least, so you don't focus on the lens. Even then, my eyes used to peep right and left. So they have to keep shooting. I was terrified the previous day when I got to know that the next day a shoot with your face is there. So it was super terrifying. But again, a standard basic instruction, you keep doing that, you get better.
Right.
And without even realizing that I got better, I think I got better.
Right.
And I came over that fear.
I think you have a huge fan following for...
I don't know.
Yeah, especially when we see your ads up there, we see the amount of comments for your voice and for you is way too high.
So that one thing, I didn't even realize that I had that.
Yeah, I think so. People found the talent in you, basically.
Yeah, they found the talent in me. In fact, if you had seen the first 1 year of Cooked, all the videos would be just recipes.
Mm.
And you wouldn't even see a face, except for a few shows. Whatever the camera fear I'm talking about is for those few shows. All the recipes had just food in it.
Right.
So it was super easy to start shoot. It'll be one cam on top, one cam on the side. You keep cooking, which is something you're comfortable with. But once we hired a lot of chefs and the team started getting bigger, I started focusing on rest of the stuff. And I didn't do videos for more than a year. And there was one internal contest within the team where there was one stagnant point. So every time we have a stagnant point, what we end up doing is, let's try something else. So on that day, we decided like how tech companies do a hackathon where they try to solve a problem in 24 hours. Let's do a content hackathon. We could have named it better, but yeah.
Cookathon.
Cookathon, yeah. So we split the team into two. Each one was supposed to create a reel. And it was so random that I ended up saying, let's create a kili parota reel.
It's
just layering parota with salna and mutton chuka. And that video, I think it did about 13 million, like 1.5-2 years back. And that was my first creation, content creation, after the first 3-4 months of Cooked. So I stopped creating for 8-10 months. Then even after that, it was so infrequent that I don't even remember the content that I created that 1 year after that.
Right.
But now it's becoming so frequent that I spend 1 or 1.5 shoot days a month. I shoot 4-5 content and it's spread over a period of month. And in one video where it was a recipe called arisim parppu saapadu, which is a common staple. It's like dal khichdi.
Okay.
It's a Tamil Nadu version of dal khichdi. I ended up making it and I ended up telling a story which I thought I only related to. And that video did about 4.5 million.
Wow.
There was so much comments about how people could relate to each and every single line in that.
Right.
And that made me put whatever effort that I'm putting in every single line I write.
Right. So you add emotions to it. You add your personal flavor to it.
Yeah.
And you believe that your story is everyone's story.
Yeah. I always... I feel that I've started getting better at writing stories as well.
Right.
Writing scripts for these as well. That's something that I'm very particular. I don't involve anyone. I do the first draft, then I brainstorm with the rest of the folks. And every writing takes about 30-40 minutes. I consciously spend the 30-40 minutes. If I do something in 5 minutes, I know that no, you've spent only 5 minutes, it's not great. Spend more time. And I started enjoying writing the lines that I do. A lot of different lines, right? Each video will have at least one or two things where people would relate to.
Right.
In one video where kambangul is a normal thing that is available in every roadside store during summers because it's good for your health.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the grayish color thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I wrote a line where it indirectly told the political statement of whatever I believe in as well. I said, Bhaktila buttiyum sethavanga thana nammalga.
Okay.
So what I ended up saying was, கோயில்லாம் ஏன் ஃப்ரீயாக கூழுத்துறாங்க வை டூ டெம்பிள்ஸ் ஆஃபர் தீஸ் திங்ஸ் ஃபார் ஃப்ரீ அண்ட் வை டிட் தட் பிகம் அ ப்ராக்டிஸ் அண்ட் வை டூ பொலிட்டிக்கல் பார்ட்டிஸ் டூ தட் இட்ஸ் பிகாஸ் ஈவன் வென் இட் கம்ஸ் டு டிவோஷன் வி ஆர் த ஒன்ஸ் ஹூ ஆடட் சம் தாட் இன் டு இட் அண்ட் என்ஷோர் தட் பீப்புள் வேர் ஃபெட் டியூரிங் தட் டைம் ஸோ தோஸ் சார்ட் ஆஃப் இன்ட்ரெஸ்டிங் லைன்ஸ் ஐ ஸ்டார்டட் கம்மிங் வித் ஆன் மை ஓன் பட் சம்டைம்ஸ் ஐ எம் சர்ப்ரைஸ் தட் ஐ ரோட் இட் மை செல்ஃப் ஸோ
கூல்
It's so just that it's a practice and it's
so from entrepreneur to creator, from creator to actor to writer.
I would never call myself an actor, right?
Okay.
I mean, everyone in my team will disagree.
Okay.
They'll ask me to give some reaction. I'll give the same standard reaction. That's why in each video, what these guys end up using is they keep rolling the camera. So I wouldn't even know that the camera is on. I would do some random stuff and they end up putting that in the video.
Makes sense.
And that ends up being that I performed it. If they ask me to repeat the same thing that they have seen on camera, I would never be able to do it even today.
Cool.
So I would agree. I mean, I would want to take that credit of writer because I put some effort as a cook, obviously, because I do cook and I do think that I cook well. Actor, definitely no. I don't even want to get into that zone.
Cool. I've cooked something for you today.
Yeah. Wow.
I'll get it for you. Awesome. Thank you so much. So cook for you.
Yeah. It's murukku sandwich.
It's murukku sandwich. Have you tried this before?
Yeah, I've.
Yeah. So, what's the flavor? Like, you made it on your show.
No, not yet. We have not.
Yeah, because this is like a hidden recipe of the North Chennai.
Oh. I've heard it, murukku sandwich. In Salem, obviously, there is this Thattavadai
set, right? Yeah, it's quite famous there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's quite famous there. I've heard murukku sandwich is sort of similar to it. And I think I've seen a few reels where it's very popular in some store.
Recently, I think some of them have started to decode why and how is this made and stuff, right? So, the chutney is quite famous, basically. So, maybe you can just start.
I can.
Yeah, you can.
Right in between the show, I can eat, right?
Absolutely. That's the purpose of bringing it here. So that's the next recipe on your channel?
Probably I'll copy this, yeah.
Maybe you should improvise on this, basically.
Yeah. It's interesting people figure out a lot of these things, right? So the whole thing is a great balance.
So where do you get the inspiration for innovation? For, let's say you have so many recipes. How many recipes now on the channel?
I think, we don't put everything on social media, but we do have a lot on these app, on our app.
Right.
We just crossed 2,000 recipes.
2,000 recipes on your app?
Yeah.
Wow.
And most of it is on social
media. How many people have downloaded your app now?
I think we have about 130K
downloads. 130K downloads right now. And I'm sure these are people across the world.
Different parts of the world.
That's amazing. So 2,000 recipes there. Yeah. And how many on YouTube now?
YouTube, I think we should have uploaded about 1,200, 1,300 recipes. Plus a lot more of other shows and stuff and shorter videos.
Right. So basically the question is, how do you innovate? Like, where is the idea coming from?
See, there are a few category of recipes, I would call.
Okay.
The first ones are stuff that everyone would know.
Right.
If I end up saying a paneer butter masala, it's not a new thing. You obviously would know.
Right.
So we have recipes like that also, where if at all someone wants to search for a good version of that recipe, they can trust cook to choose for that. They can trust cook for that recipe.
Right.
So the standard stuff and the normal restaurant things, restaurant dishes that you might be popular, all your basic Chinese, right? Manchurian, Szechuan, pepper, hot garlic, all these basic things. I think we would have mostly covered all your basic restaurant things.
The things that people search for, basically.
Yeah, things that people search for, things that people have seen in a menu card.
Right.
And the next category would be certain regional delicacies. And that is not so common on social media. What happens is, unless you have a good reference, like a nice cookbook or something, you might not know these recipes. What at least most of us think is that internet has every recipe. But the fact is, no. And 2,000 videos is not even scratching the surface of how much could be potentially created.
True.
And there is enough for more recipes which are in books, which have not been documented in the form of videos.
Wow.
And that's where you go region by region. And probably because of the region where we are from, because of our existing knowledge, we try to do a lot of South Indian regional content.
Right.
But now that the team has a bit more talent in term of, I mean, we have few people from Andhra, we have one girl from Gurgaon. So we have a lot of their regional recipes also coming into the brand. And some of their street food and stuff. So that's the second category, the regional. The third one is fusion. It's just random stuff you think. One day in your sleep, you end up thinking that I want to make lava idli. I don't know, someone actually pressed-pitched it in a thing.
Lava.
Lava idli, like a lava cake, molten lava cake. Right. I want to make a lava idli.
Wow. So what they end up doing? What's going to be the stuffing?
Sambar.
Oh, wow.
Standard.
Nice.
Chicken kothi idli. So just add some chicken in between your idli, then again steam it. So it's random stuff. And the whole pongal thing that came out on social media recently, right? That was a conversation where the culinary team usually sits every Friday 2 hours to discuss these ideas.
Right.
And I don't know, they don't call me a chef, they call me a cook. And I'm also fine with that because I've not studied like them. But so I'm also part of that conversation. That's one interesting conversation that I have every week. I asked, there is pongal, when pongal, why didn't we think of flavored pongal?
Wow.
I said, I mean, that's essentially dal khichdi, right? I said, if the ratio of dal to rice changes, it's dal khichdi, you're right. Then why didn't someone think of a non-veg pongal? Then you want us to get hate comments on it? I said, yes.
I saw the comments on that.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So I ended up saying that let's do a chicken pongal. So the creator ended up thinking what could be things that could go well with rice and dal. So she also ended up making a chili oil which went well with it. So if you had served at a 5-star restaurant and if it was plated slightly different, you would have paid $1,000 for the same pongal.
Absolutely.
It's nutritious. It's still a great balance of fiber, carb and protein. You added protein to something where there was less protein.
Right.
That was the only protein.
Plus people who are non-vegetarian, this is like a delicacy.
Delicacy for them. It was a nice recipe. So it's just that it could start from any conversation.
Right.
Or it could start from anything that they see.
Right.
Someone's Parle G and tea is a nice combination, right? And they wanted to make a Parle G butter out of it.
Right.
They want to make a tea panna cotta. So it's just that anything and everything you see, you start imagining stuff. Now that you saw muruk being used for a sandwich, they might think, I mean, can we do a North Indian South Indian fusion? It's sort of technically North Indian South Indian fusion, right? There is this mint chutney. I don't know, muruk and mint chutney went together. It's a fusion. So that's how we start thinking and we start creating innovative recipes. These are the three categories of content that we create.
Superb. So how would you innovate this? What would you improvise on this? Don't tell me you're going to add chicken onto it.
No. I know you're vegetarian, so.
Yeah.
I think murukku sandwich. I don't think it has cheese. It has cheese?
It has cheese.
Mm. I'm just thinking, what are the other things that people have with murukku, or what do they have with something like that? I mean, it's... I'm not that brilliant to give an idea immediately, but...
Yeah. In case you want.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Okay, have what do we do with... It's murukku and sandwich. What are the other things that we... I don't think this can be improved. This on its own is good. Maybe some of the components of the idea, right? Using murukku as a base. Those things, I think, can be incorporated for something else. Like crumbs of murukku into some other snack or something like
makes
that.
Makes sense. So, yeah. I think it has its own flavor, so yeah. We can't change it much. Super. So how many videos do you guys make in a day, and what happens to all the food you guys make?
Whoever attends our interview, that's one of the questions that they have for us. Okay. Whenever we ask, what is there any question for us? They ask
this is a standard question, basically.
Yeah, they ask, do we get to eat the food that you make?
Wow.
Then we said, yes, that's a part of the perks. So... which obviously means that everything that's made there is consumed the same day.
So people don't bring their lunch, basically.
No, anyway, we have a caterer who supplies lunch also. This is add-on. This is throughout the day. Like 10 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. in the evening, you keep getting something out of the kitchen.
Right.
And the portion sizes are small, right? You get one piece each.
You just get to eat, taste it, basically.
You get to taste it. Yeah. So it's not
taste,
too filling.
Taste it, review it.
Yeah.
So how many videos a day?
Usually... on a normal day, it'll be 6 to 8 videos a day.
This is long ones or the small ones?
Recipes.
Basically.
Some of them, they would shoot it only as a reel. Some of them, they'll shoot it as recipe and reel. Some of them, they'll shoot twice to ensure that there's a reel format than a recipe format.
So 6 to 8 recipes, yeah. Basically. It doesn't matter, easily. Is it a long form or a short form.
And whenever it's a different shows and longer format content, it's shot separately on a day. Because they use different sort of lightings and stuff.
Right.
So the standard thing is 6 to 8 videos a day.
How many chefs do you have right now?
So we have 7.
7 chefs?
Yeah.
That's some.
Excluding me. I mean, I'm not a chef. 7 plus 1
cook. You're a
cook.
Yeah. 7 chefs, 1 cook. Brilliant. But how does the dynamic work? Because, you know, the chefs, they become the face of Cook TV.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be a problem for you?
I mean, that's totally fine. If you, one conscious decision that we made during day one and for the first year was, I decided no one is going to feature in these videos.
Right.
Because it's about recipes and we want people to carry these recipes into the kitchen. At that point of time, every recipe brand that was there in the market was associated with one face.
Right.
It could be this brand with this chef.
Right.
So you would know the chef's name or you would know the home cook's name. Since we wanted Cook to be a brand on its own, we knew that Cook would have a product line. We didn't want a person to be associated.
Right.
I mean, it would have been easy for me to put my face out there on day one.
So you put the brand on the top.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I see that people start recognizing that. Today, they don't talk about Adi, they talk about Cook. They might know me as Cooked Adi, but the hierarchy, like Cook comes first and Adi comes next. And that was something that we were very conscious. And off late, obviously, you have been in this space. You would know that the platforms evolve.
Right.
And certain sort of content start dying and new format of content start working.
Yeah.
And specifically, Reels wasn't something that was there when we started Cooked. So normal videos on Instagram did terrifically well for us. And then Reels got in. Which means that this reach was cut down by Instagram. And we had to do Reel. And we couldn't stick to the same top angle video format on Reels.
Right.
You wanted to start doing something better. And that was again a change in direction where we decided, let's feature these creators into these videos. And people started getting featured on videos. And even then, if you had noticed, by the time we started featuring people on video, it was not one. Mm. It'll be 6-7 people.
There are many of them.
It is still Cooked.
Right.
And I, even now, none of us get tagged in Cooked videos.
Makes sense.
Including me.
Those are very important things to take care of. Yeah.
Because we want people to stay follow the brand, stay there for the purpose that they followed.
Super.
And we don't want the attention to come to us. We want the attention to be on the brand.
Right. Makes sense. Super. I think that's some very interesting insight because a lot of people, you know, they don't want to have a lot more people inside of their channel. thinking that it may become a competition. It may, of course, in the future. But the idea of not tagging them, those small details really matter, and putting that into your mindset first is more important than you going all aggressive on your channel all by your own.
And Cooked has also become, it has also reached a certain scale where it gives visibility to these people on day one.
Right.
And people also start using it the right way. So, and I'm being an example of that myself by having a clear set of do's and don'ts.
Right.
And I think that matters to an extent in terms of what the team can expect from the brand.
There's always that one YouTube video that makes you a hero, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly you see that that one video or two videos have got you the maximum number of followers. Which video was that?
So what I could clearly remember is this whole Kili Parotta video. It was at the time where Vijay's Master movie songs were out. We had used Master the Blaster song for that, and the audio was trending. So there were two consecutive videos. We put out a Chicken 65 video, which did 25 million. We put out this Kili Parotta video, which did 13 million. Two consecutive videos. In that span of 1 week, we got 76,000 followers.
76,000 followers.
In the span of that 1 week.
Subscribers, followers.
Followers. I'm talking about Instagram.
Instagram. Okay.
And YouTube, there are two recipe videos which keeps giving us followers even today. One of them is a simple white sauce chicken pasta recipe that I made. And the other one is I made a bun borotta, Madurai style bun borotta recipe video. Those two keep giving followers even today.
Wow.
And it's reached more than 3.5 million.
So
these videos are the ones I could...
Brilliant. So basically, I see that you use trends, you adapt it to trends, you customize your name of the product according to trends, use the music, and it just helped you big time.
True. So the one thing that I've realized about trends is, at least most of the people, if they want to stick to the trend, they end up copying the trend.
True, right.
But the ones that stand out in that whole trend wave, right, they are the ones who inspire from that trend and use it in a way that they would use it for themselves.
Right.
Their own touch into that trend is what makes them different.
True.
And the whole, it was all about Vijay's song. But you wanted to feature a parotta and a beer next to it. It suddenly starts, people start getting
nobody thought like that. Mm. Generally, people would, there's a trending dance and everybody's dancing.
Dancing, yeah.
You are just cooking.
Yeah, we were just cooking.
Wow.
And we wanted to bring in few things that people could relate to. Parotta is one dish that people relate to the max.
I always say this, that when you are in your journey to create content, you need to keep up with trends.
Yeah.
While you have your own flavor going, trends just shoots you up all of a sudden and then brings you the limelight that you never got before. So 25 million and 30 million is fairly good numbers, basically. And also I learned that on YouTube, it's never about trends, but it's largely about the basics that people want, like how you said white sauce chicken pasta, and you also spoke about something which is viral in your city. We'll say Madurai. People may be searching for that, and that's possibly going viral. So there is clear distinction, right? One where you're constantly innovating for shorter content, and then you're trying to be basics on the longer format of content. Is that how you follow?
So we want to cover both these things. We want to keep up with the trend, keep telling people indirectly that if there is any innovation that's happening, we are sort of the people who are there on top to keep you posted about these things.
So you're trying to serve the mass, you're trying to be on the trend, and then you're constantly innovating something that your community would love to see.
Yeah. So they want us to see, adapt to all these new things that are coming out, right? And to an extent, in every brand's growth, there will be a stagnant phase. And there was a stagnant phase where I even did the math where you see the number of followers that you get every day, right?
Right.
I told the team it's going to take 8 years for us to reach million.
Right.
At this speed. So the trend was that bad. And there was this very dull phase. That's a point in time where you start thinking,
let's
erase everything
different
on the board.
Yeah.
Let's start from the scratch.
Right.
Let's think how well we can do it.
True.
Even the partner managers in Facebook and Instagram, they said that probably you have extinguished your niche. I don't think any more people are going to follow. And this was about at 400-500K. And we are 3x of that now, and we are growing faster than ever. It took us 2.5 years to reach 1 million. It took us less than 5 months to reach another 500,000.
Makes sense.
So it's just that that's a point where you erase everything and you start from scratch and you start with ideas. And then you come up with ideas like this. Let's use these trends, let's create recipes, let's build a story along with it, let's get people immersed into the recipe by just showing them the sounds that are there when we cook. All those things happened after that.
The ASMR effect. Yeah. Is what we call that?
Yeah, we call it as ASMR. All those things
I could
started
see,
after that.
I could see that's one of the factors why I watch your video, though I know the recipe will not really help me, but I still watch it because of the whole element of
obviously, there
ASMR.
Are two different kind of people, right? Some people watch it for probably saving it and making it sometime at their place.
Right.
Some people watch it because they like watching a recipe video, like watching a food transforming from an ingredient into a finished product.
Fantastic. You know, sometimes we create content or we create product or we create recipes and we think that, okay, this is just a random testing and you don't expect it to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
But you were surprised that, oh, this is actually going viral. Yeah. Did you ever have a moment like that?
A lot.
Okay.
The one video that I clearly remember is there's another colleague of mine, Sanjana. She made a basic chart with Kurkure packet.
Wow.
And there was one audio that she liked. It was a somewhat quirky audio. She said, I want to make something. And she ended up making that video in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Just open a Kurkure packet, add some onions, tomato, some coriander, mixed everything, some peanuts, mixed everything together. And she served it as a chat. And that video did 20 million on Instagram. Kurkure. 20 million on Instagram.
Wow. Because I think
no one anticipated. For a 10-minute effort, if your return is 20 million views, you're like, I mean, I spent one day to shoot a video, the editor spent 2 days to edit that video, and that did 100k.
Right.
So,
yes. So I think it's also because Kurkure is something that almost all of us eat.
Yes.
But we never thought, oh, this is how we can actually eat it.
Yeah. And it was just every ingredient that was used, lime juice, onion, tomato, and coriander, is something that people had at home.
Easily available.
It's just that it made them realize that I don't need to know cooking. I can make this. I can make this right now. I can go there, buy a 10 rupee Kurkure packet, and I can make this and eat it now.
I think the simplicity.
Yeah, the simplicity mattered. In that.
Keep it simple, stupid, right? Yeah. Maybe somebody was just eating Kurkure while watching this too. Yeah, super. So, you know, in this journey, what, especially on Instagram as a platform, what's that one thing that you believe is very important? A few things, basically. Mm. Let's say three tips that you think is your mantra, thinking, okay, these are three things that I think is very important for Instagram success.
Yeah. See, the first thing that I'll tell people, at least the new creators who joined us, is tell me why someone want to watch a video.
True.
If they don't have an answer for it in first 5 seconds, I'll say that your idea is bad. I don't even want to hear your idea. Your idea is already bad because you don't even have enough reasons. Then if someone says that I have reasons, they'll start quoting these reasons. And if they give me three or more reasons, which means that it's the chances of it working are higher. If they have only one reason, I'll just have hate comments. Probably it might do well. But if they had four or five different reasons why someone would watch a video, then the chances of that video working is increasing as and when it happens. So that's one thing that is a standard. In fact, in one of the ideation sheets, as soon as someone writes what the idea is, the next column says, why would someone watch the video?
Right.
And they have to write an explanation. If you're not able to write an explanation, scrap your idea. So that's one thing I'm very particular about when it comes to content creation. The other thing is the basics that you might have taught a lot of your students. In the first 3 or 4 seconds, we establish what the video is.
True.
And because I'll tell you an example of a failed case as well. You establish what your video is. And at any point in time, because it's just going to be 45 or 60 seconds, you ensure that there is no moment where the engagement is going to go down. If at all you sense that the video's engagement is going down, there should be something that brings it back to the high.
Right.
So there should be constant engagement. Like it could be cuts that you make, it could be the audios. Sound. So those are things that we do to ensure that the continuity is
there. So you're saying it's just not one hook, but multiple hooks.
Multiple hooks.
Right.
And the other thing is, like I told you, I write a lot of scripts for my own video, right? If you want to say something in 5 words, if the same thing can be said in 3 words, I would always use 3 words.
Right.
Don't waste that 45 seconds of real estate to talk about something that is not necessary, or try using connecting words. It doesn't matter. Make it crisp, make it short.
Don't necessarily drag your video.
Drag your video.
Don't at the end say, do this, blah, 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 blah.
So those are probably the guidelines that I use myself and I have for the team. And for the team, it's clear. You don't have reasons why someone would watch the video, don't even bother trying to
create the script for the sake of creating script. Basically.
I mean, it's not just creating scripts, right? They go and shoot it also. Right. You're wasting not one person's time, you're wasting 5-6 people's time.
True, makes sense. If you think it's not going to go viral, then it's definitely not going to go viral, right? And I like this idea where you said there should not just be one reason, there should be multiple reasons why it should. Why would people watch that? And I think that's the reason for
you
virality.
You did do that, right? For the Kurkure video, you decoded it.
Right.
You decoded it's Kurkure, it's 10 rupees, everyone can access.
Right.
All the ingredients that it had are some things that you have at home.
Right.
Which means that the possibility of you watching it and making it also increases. The possibility of you watching it, sharing it with your friends increases. It ticks all the checkboxes. So we already discussed 5 reasons why it would work.
Right.
Which is turning out to be true.
So did you do some innovations with Maggi or not yet?
The team is milking the Maggi trend left, right and center. In fact, I am the only one in my team who has never shot a Maggi video.
Why?
Everyone has milked that enough. Let me not milk the same cow at least.
Achha, okay. So we have done enough on Maggi, you're saying.
Yesterday also, I think pizza Maggi went out.
Lovely.
Anything with Maggi touches a million easily. Yeah. Easily.
Maggi's an emotion in this country.
They made pizza, they made milk Maggi, they made Maggi Bail. Everything, Maggi ramen.
Did you just say milk Maggi?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It tastes like your white Same sauce here. Pasta.
Okay, white sauce pasta.
But with a Maggi seasoning, right? Imagine a milk and Maggi seasoning. It'll taste good.
Oh wow.
Instead of water, you add milk and cook Maggi, and you add your seasoning.
Right.
It'll be like a light yellowish colored pasta.
Right.
It's so nice. In fact, you should.
So I think anybody who's starting a cook channel should first touch Maggi's feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they touch Maggi, their video is going to go well.
Wow. Super. I think that's like a great value for people right now. Yeah. That's some hidden secrets. Kurkure Maggi is something that we eat every other day.
Kurkure Maggi, Lays, pick up all the common stuff, do something with it, you're through.
Wow, super. So don't sit down and think deep, you're trying to say.
Think deep like chicken pongal and all.
Yeah.
That's for people like us. Yeah, you know, stick to Maggi.
Yeah, I saw a lot of hate comments there. And then you did say that create a video so that we get a lot of hate comments.
Yeah.
It looks like you've planned the video.
Sometimes we consciously do.
Wow. So I'll tell you another chicken example. Pongal that strategy?
Chicken pongal was one of those strategies.
Okay.
And putting out a great non-vegetarian recipe. Like, in fact, that recipe is one of my best non-vegetarian dry preparation recipes. During Puratasi is also something that... It's a conversation starter.
Mm.
People want to start conversation. Someone is going to say... Why would you do this thing to something like pongal, which is sacred to us? And the other person is going to come and say that, obviously, pongal is another dish like anything else.
Right.
You can innovate. What is wrong in innovating with pongal?
Right.
Pongal is one thing where you don't have enough protein. Let's add protein to it.
Right.
What if someone is very conscious about the macros that they eat and they want to have pongal? They can taste chicken pongal. What is harm in it? And we would never take sides. For us, both of them are right. For us, both of them are wrong as well.
Right.
We want to be people who innovate and let the masses share the opinion about this whole innovation. And we plant stuff into videos like this. There was one random video that I created where everyone was coughing in the office. I said, I'm going to make a chicken soup. That's the recipe. I went inside the room. I don't even need to have a recipe for chicken soup. I made a chicken soup. By the time we had to plate that chicken soup, I said... I want 3 different containers. So I had 3 different jugs. I told the editor, call the small one as S, the next one as L, and I couldn't find something in between
the medium,
L and XL. So I had a larger one. I said, put XL. People will comment, where is L? Like I did quote him, 100 people commented, where is L? But the L was a conscious mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
S, M, XL.
Right.
Because we didn't have L-sized mug in the first place. That was the reason. But we used that as an opportunity to make people talk about why is not L there.
Yeah.
So, then we replied saying that S and M is for normal sickness. If you're ultra sick, if you're ultra coughing, directly go to XL, no L.
Makes sense. I think that's a brilliant idea, right? So you make a mistake so that everybody starts talking about that.
And it's not a mistake. It's a conscious thing.
It's a conscious decision to make people notice it.
Yeah.
Nice. I never thought like that. I think it's a brilliant idea, basically.
Now we keep doing that in each of our videos.
Mm.
And certain words that we use, not in a bad way, in a good way, we know that people will start talking about it.
Right. Brilliant. Like, how many videos have gone across 1 million mark on Instagram for you?
I think it's definitely more than about 150 videos.
Wow. And I see you have a 1 million wall on in your office.
Yeah.
What's the idea behind the 1 million wall?
It's just that we wanted to celebrate milestones.
Lovely.
Like you did point out, all the creators and chefs who are part of the culinary team get visibility in front of the camera.
Right.
But that's not the same with the rest of the team.
Right.
And the effort that the rest of the team puts is not lesser than any of us.
Right.
Whatever effort the cinematographer is putting and editor is putting makes my video look nice.
Right.
So we thought they also need to have something to celebrate. We in fact feature some of them in some videos. But if you see the Wall of Millions, there'll be this thumbnail and it'll show people involved in it. It'll show the cinematographer, editor and the content creator who is a part of it. So each one is already working with this thing that I want more of my face there. And sometimes it also ends up in conversation saying that I want to edit Adina's next video.
Right.
Then we form teams. And I also consciously ensure that I don't work with the same. We have three cinematographers. So I work with different people for different videos. And I also work with different editors for different videos of mine. So that each one gets a chance to work. And I also get a chance to work with them. So the content creators have consciously started making these choices.
Super.
So it's just that it becomes a nice collaborative work environment.
It's also personal motivation to be featured on that wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, personally, it's good to see that we have crossed.
Yeah, and there is a lot of banter that goes on.
Yeah,
right?
But I think the wall will... 150, you said. I mean, you'll...
The wall, we haven't filled up the last 1.5 quarter.
Yeah, I think you should change the numbers now. Make it to 5 million or 10 million. Yeah.
So, the banter and all, it'd be similar to... There was this new creator who joined us recently, like 3-4 months back. We hired him from his college. He was telling, Anna, it needs to be updated. I've had 2. Amara, I've had 20. Let's update. So it's like, now why do you have to make us feel like this? He wanted to point out. It's just that there's a lot of banter.
Maybe for him, those 2 were like 200. Yeah. So,
but it's in a funny way. It's a nice way.
I can understand your tone there. Fantastic. So we were talking about Instagram and let's take YouTube into consideration. Because if somebody's making video there, what are some factors to take into consideration?
The first thing would always be your YouTube thumbnails matter a lot.
Right.
For longer format videos. It is the CTR. Even today, whenever I have free time, I open YouTube thumbnails and I check the click-through rates. And for every 100 people that are viewing, if only 4 people are clicking, you're going to get 4 views. If 9 people are able to click that, you get 9 views. And the CTR number matters a lot.
Right.
And it entirely depends on the designer who's going to create these thumbnails.
Right.
So there's always optimization and learnings from the thumbnails that I work that has worked earlier. And the second thing is your average view duration. For example, if it's a 2-minute video and the average view duration is about 50 seconds, we go and analyze that why the average duration is lesser. Why can't it be higher? And there's this graph on YouTube Studio which shows when the video drop happens, right?
Right.
In fact, the biggest learning that we had, our culinary head, Sanjana, she has a series called Better Than the Best. First few episodes didn't do great. But we later realized that there's a huge drop in the first few seconds itself because we end up taking a lot of time establishing what the video is.
True.
The last few videos have all done more than 50, some has done more than 100, 150 Ks. Very simple tweak that we made. She'll go there, she'll say, in this episode of Better Than the Best, I'm going to do this.
Right.
So people want to know what you're making. Are you making a biryani? Are you making a pizza? Tell me that first. Otherwise, I'm bored here.
Right.
They want to leave.
Right. They want to see the trailer.
Yeah. In fact, in the older videos, it'll be like, hi, I'm Sanjana. I do this. In this episode, Better Than the Best, where we make things that are already available in the market better. No, I don't
no
want to hear.
Basically.
So that
come to the point.
That one small change has caused a lot of impact. Like it has doubled or tripled the views that we used to have for her videos. And the engagement is better.
Right.
And again, it's the same, right? Whenever you see a drop, you go back to the video and figure out what it is. It might be a cooking step where it is too boring and you could have actually cut it short in a show.
Right.
So we see that and we keep making improvements and we keep... whenever we think an engagement is going to get dropped, we find out a way to bring it up.
Right.
Like it could be one funny clip, we'll plug it into the video, or one funny sound or thing that we put on the video so that people suddenly it pops up and people are like, what is it? Then they continue with on video. So we consciously innovate and include stuff like that.
Superb. That's something very interesting. CTR and thumbnail. I think people just compromise on that.
Yeah.
They don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And the third factor is what's the average view time?
Yeah.
And that largely depends upon how you start your video and keep your audience hooked.
Yeah.
I have something else for you. Try this up. Guess what's that?
It's something similar, but this whole thing, in Thai restaurants, they used to serve this thing cup with thing.
Okay.
With corn and all. But I think it's...
So what would you name this? Yeah, there's definitely corn inside.
Yeah. I mean, corn in a cup or something like that.
Corn in the cup. Nice.
This is all from the same famous street.
Yeah. It's not cooked by me for sure.
That I realized as soon as I saw the plating. I didn't want to be...
Yeah. You didn't want to be rude. It's like, sort of, I know it. This was butt obvious. My team should have been much smarter here. But yeah, it's okay. So this is better than that.
Probably
it's called corn canopies.
Corn canop.
Yeah, I think it's called canopies.
And yeah, that's the right word.
Canopies, right. Maybe... I was just thinking like there could be a lot more South Indian flavor into it and this could be one of your...
This is a lot of mayo and cheese. This is a balance of everything.
Right. Balance of everything.
Yeah.
Super. You can actually keep eating. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm shameless that way.
Yeah. I think you see so much food. Yeah. There. Like food and you is like just best friends there.
On Instagram, I was talking about the 3-second hook. There was one video that I did for Onam. Where Sanjana's grandmother, she's a Mallu, so Party was there in the video. I was there in the video. It's just me plating an Onam Sandhya along with her. What we wanted to do was all the plating videos we've ever done, which is specifically non-veg, these veg meals, it has done really well. In that video, I wasn't very happy with something, but the team still wanted to go ahead with it. I said, fine, go ahead with it, but I told them this could be the problem. The first 7 seconds of the video, I'll end up saying that Ellarukum Onam, I'll mispronounce it. Then Party will correct me saying that Ellarukum Onam Asamshul. So, by 7 seconds, people thought that it is a wish video and they moved on to the next video. The video did about 500k. Technically, it should have done significantly more than
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Once we got into plating is where the actual fun part is. You talk about, there is all this 21 things that are a part of Onam Sadhya. And those are interesting. People would want to see it. But we took 7 seconds to establish what the video is that we are going to plate Onam Sadhya. If you had started with plating the Onam Sadhya, the video would have probably crossed a million.
Absolutely.
And that's something I realized because whatever I put out, whatever BTS of that video is what I put out on my profile. And that did 300k.
Right.
And I have very little followers. Which means that that video should have done a lot more. But just taking too much time to establish what the video is, we missed out on the opportunity.
Maybe this Onam Sadhya, we should just redo the video again.
Yeah, I think even if we re-edit and post it, I think it should still do well.
Yeah, I think so. Because same, it's going to be the same menu all our lives. Yeah, brilliant actually. That's some good thought that we need to figure out what's the hook inside the video. It just can't be the regular stuff. We need to figure out some other way to just make it
so
happen.
So these things, as you keep putting on a lot of videos, you start understanding... This is the mistake. You start pinpointing this could be the mistake.
Right. Pre-cooked meals.
You can call it as ready to cook.
Okay. We are there. So, beyond cooked.tv being a regular cooking channel, I see there's a lot more thing that you have thought as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, brand collaboration is something that we would all obviously think.
Mm.
But that's not the only thing that you've been dependent on. You've gone out and you've started ready-to-cook food products out there.
True.
And I've tasted some of them. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the idea behind that?
So the one thing that we don't call it as ready-to-cook. And probably that's the normal thing that people refer to. I clearly see this as an extension of what we do. We've been offering great recipes. And some of these recipes are genuinely quite complex and the ingredients are quite tough to source and you need some skill to perfect it.
Right.
Can we break it down in a way where we make it better, easier, but the end result is going to be significantly better for a consumer? Can we do it? And that's why we started calling this whole category as recipe mixes. what Cooked is offering to its audience is essentially a recipe mix.
Right.
For example, the first product that we ever launched, it was a product called Fried Chicken Kit.
Mm.
And essentially the idea came from one of Sanjana's video where people said 24 ingredients. Do you think that I'll be able to source all 24 ingredients? And lot of these ingredients like paprika and all these herbs that you're talking about, I don't even know where to go and buy.
Right.
How would I make a fried chicken?
Right.
And that's why fried chicken is something that you thought you could only have at restaurants and QSRs. So the first product that we created was Fried Chicken Kit. It had three things. A marinade, which goes on top of the meat, or you can obviously use veggies as well. Then the breading mix, which gives you this ultra crispy coating. And every fried chicken or a fried paneer or paneer poppers, you have a nice seasoning that goes on top. That's the first thing that hits your palate, which gives you that nice sting. So we created a kit with three components. So that's why I essentially would say that this is a kit. This is a recipe mix. If you want to make a fried chicken, here is a recipe mix for you. And we ended up creating a lot of different products. And some of it ended up, some of the products, and the recent favorites are the biryani kits that we do, where there is rice, there is paste, and there is a sachet of oil also. And along the way of making these recipes into these products, we're trying to solve a few consumer problems as well. One of the consumer problems that we realized about biryani, which probably until I speak about, people might not even acknowledge that that's a problem. They like eating a biryani, but they don't like biting into the spice of a biryani.
Wow.
They don't like spice. They don't, I mean, obviously none of you sitting in this room would like to bite a cinnamon or a cardamom.
True.
That spoils your whole experience.
Yeah.
So we removed those from our recipe. It's a part of the paste as in a powder format. But what we wanted to do was we still wanted to retain the top flavor notes. What do? It? We essentially used extract of the spices and created a biryani oil. Ambur as an Ambur biryani oil, Dindigal as a Dindigal biryani oil, which you essentially add to the food when you make it. So which gives you the same spice note, the same flavor notes without the aftertaste.
Right.
So we solve a few problems along the way of creating these kits.
Brilliant.
So I think this is how the evolution of food is going to be. There is a lot more that we could be doing. The tandoor kit that we have created, again, we've solved multiple problems in that. Any tikka that you make at home, you can't call it a tandoor tikka because it's not made in tandoor.
Right.
Because it doesn't have smoke, it doesn't have charcoal. And those are the two things that are missing.
I see a lot of people buy them online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a brilliant idea, especially if you don't know how to cook or you're traveling abroad and you want to have the same flavors or you have a birthday party and you don't want to outsource it from outside and you want to do something on your own.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of emotions there.
Yeah. So definitely those are, I would say, the lowest hanging fruits when it comes to target customers. But ideally, we want to get to a level where even regular cooks who cook regularly at home
absolutely
end up using these products. And even people who have house help should think that I would need this to have this experience or this taste, because that's something that neither I could make or my mate
house
could
help
make.
Yeah.
So super. That's where we want to get to.
I see it. I was talking to a restaurant owner because I personally work with him and got to know that the entire biryani's base has come from Cooked.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was surprised because it's quite a hit in the market. But a lot of these restaurant owners are actually buying it from you, right? A
lot of these restaurants use our biryani pastes as the base for the biryanis that they make. Obviously, one thing that the one thing that you would boast about what you have built, I would think that the recipes that you created are the ones that
absolutely
I'll boast about. And these are essentially from our own recipes, which we created, which we perfected, which we formulated, which we then scaled up and converted into products.
Right.
So the end result that you get here is probably significantly better than the ones that you would ever see in the market.
Yes, of course. And also consistency in taste.
Yeah.
Right. Also, that's a massive differentiation there. So they don't have to even have their own recipes, and they don't have to formulate a new chef.
So we obviously need the time of the cook. We would still want them to feel that they made this entire recipe, entire product, entire dish. But we were someone who enabled them to make it. We want to be sort of in the enabler phase where we don't want them to think that that's a replacement.
Right. That's amazing there. Some good innovation. It's a question. You can skip that. How much revenues do we make out of selling this product?
I mean, obviously, you guys work with this, so you would know that.
I definitely know it, but it's better answer it.
I mean, we're at a 40-50 lakh revenue per month range.
Right, 40-50 lakhs worth ready-to-cook product
products
being
are being sold every month.
And from my understanding, because we've been working with you all, majority of people who buy your products are people who've been watching your videos.
Yeah.
So it's an absolutely amazing entrepreneurship idea that you first created your audience base, mm-hmm. which means you first created a distribution channel before you started to distribute
yep.
the product out there.
Yeah.
So the question is, was it already pre-planned or did it happen in the journey?
Like, I would say both of the statements are partially true.
Okay.
It was pre-planned, but exactly what products we'll do, whether it would be, whether it would be even a consumer product in the food space or a consumer product in the appliances space, we didn't have that clarity. But we knew that we'd want to create a range of products,
right.
which is how we'd want to monetize the brand. But along the way, we figured out that we're already adding significant value in terms of helping them with their cooking.
Right.
Let's take that to the next level. Let's give them recipe mixes. So it was an evolution that happened along the way, but it was partially pre-planned, I would say. And like, you're right, we wanted to create an audience, we wanted to create a loyal community of users who cook,
right,
to whom we want to serve these products first before going into the going into the larger masses.
Brilliant. I think that's some great idea, basically, to have something which is absolutely relatable, mm-hmm. and people would keep buying again and again,
yeah.
because once they get hooked to it, they would want yeah. more of it, right? So when you create your advertisements, what's on your mind? Like, when you do those ads, what's on your mind? What are those three important mantra in the advertising strategy that you follow?
See, in my own ads, I try to stick to whatever I'm good at in terms of creating reels. Even in reels, if you remember, if you break down it and if you see the skeleton, you'll still be stating a problem. You'll be explaining a solution. So even the ads would probably have the same framework.
Problem, agitation, solution. It's called the PAS formula, which you follow.
Yeah. Brilliant. I don't know the theoretical part of it, but technically that's what we try doing in each of these videos.
Super. Yeah. I think they're doing some of these videos doing exceptionally well, yeah. just because, especially that video where you talk about you're traveling and if you want to take this across along yeah. with you, people instantly buy because they are traveling yeah. all the time. So it's a good add-on. In fact, I recommended this to some of my friends and they just totally loved it because they were trying to the US and they wanted to make this for one of the events in their mm-hmm. family mm-hmm. and they were super happy about the purchase.
Great.
Basically. Cool. So what's your routine like, Adi? Like when you go to your office, how do you plan your content?
So the content yeah. shoot happens at the max twice a month. So it's not very frequent for me. So what happens is most of the days, it's normal work days.
Right.
So I go in at 10:15 a.m. in the morning and the first meeting would probably be with the team leads, getting a status update of what's happening across each of their teams. Like tech teams, we call it as daily stand-ups. We do daily stand-ups and each team has its own daily stand-ups. So they would have done it by then. So I get an update of what's happening in each of these teams. Then it's about, like, if someone asks what's the most amount of work that you do, I'll say talking.
Nice.
And it's talking with different people from different teams.
Right.
I enjoy talking, but at the same time, there are a few things that I want to sit and do it on my own.
Right.
Which also means that we don't have a very large team. We have a 30-member team. There are some projects which I handle it personally myself. Like we have launched it in 12 retail stores in Chennai. We are probably getting to 100 stores before the end of the month. End of the quarter. So that one retail project, we don't have a sales head. We don't have a retail salesperson. I'm the sales guy. I'm the sales executive as well. So I'm doing that entire project myself. So there are 3-4 projects at a time where I'll be on it, doing it on my own. And the rest of the things would be executed through each of these teams and I get a summary of that.
Yeah.
So the day is a mix of doing my own work and talking to other people about how the progress across each of these things.
I love the idea there because in your early stages of startup, you need to drive sales for sure. So that you understand what your customers want, what they don't want. And with the precision that you sell the product, you can exactly take that precision to your team members later.
Yeah.
A lot of entrepreneurs don't do that. They're largely dependent on the sales team.
True.
And sales team don't put their heart unless you learn how to put your heart into that.
And at some point, even though the whole D2C, selling it online, all those things are nice and people want to do that. Realistically, there are only a certain number of people who are there,
right.
which all the brands are trying to reach out. We feel the kind of products that we have is appropriate for the general trade as well. And at some point, I honestly know that would be the significant contributor of revenue to the company.
Right.
And I want that to be set properly. And And I do have bandwidth to sit and do that. And I do like doing it also. Really? If at all, there's one thing that we've already done well is whichever store that we went and said we wanted to place the product, we've had 100% hit rate in terms of converting those stores into our distribution centers. Because when I go with the brochure, I go with sample products, I go with food that is prepared for them. Each of the purchase manager or the store owner gets to eat our food before even they say, I want to keep it here.
Nice.
So that's why we've had 100% record
as of that's how you got us on board too, by first serving the food.
Yeah. So that's probably one trick that I've disclosed in this conversation.
Brilliant idea, yeah. Right? First fill their stomach, then fill their brains.
Obviously, that's something, even if not was cooked, that's something that I was brought up with. Every time someone comes to your home, the first thing is you feed them.
True.
And that's something that is inbuilt. So this being the business that I run, it's even more easier to do that. So now that we have a larger kitchen and all in our office.
Every time Adi is treating me, I'm going to think.
Is there a business angle to it? No.
What's in his mind there? Okay, we have something else for you. And this time it's the Bhujia cheese puff for you.
Oh, this I've seen.
Yeah, I think things...
Yeah, they put puff on the cut, they open it, then they add these things and they use a sandwich griller.
Yeah.
This
has cheese in it and it has
bhujia. I should have skipped lunch before coming here. I didn't know Echo Me turned out to be cooked for a day.
It's always like that here. We may not have a cooking channel.
But there's food.
But there's food all the time.
Very nice. This takes first place now.
This is first
because time. I've seen this in multiple videos. I've never tried it. This is the first time.
Nice. So, you know, I see a lot of times, I'm just going to ask you a few more questions.
Yeah, of course.
I've seen majority of your content is catered to Tamil Nadu audience. While the market is massive because it's cooking and cooked as a shop online. We can actually open the market across the country and... why is that we're restricted to a lot of Tamil content? It's because, of course, I understand the knowledge comes from there for you, but why not open it for many more markets?
See, I also see whatever you're quoting as a problem statement that we are yet to solve as well.
Right.
I want to first acknowledge that there's a problem that we are yet to solve. During the initial phase, a lot of the recipes that we put out ended up being something that is relevant to the southern part of India. So the kind of audience who we acquired are predominantly from here.
Wow.
That's when even... if there is a video of me talking in English and if there is a video of me talking in Tamil, the Tamil video does 3x better than the English video.
Right.
And people know us for that. And we're trying to probably change that perception. And currently, if you look at the last 1 month, stats-wise, English content would be 60-65% and Tamil would only be 35%. But even then, what happens is some of my videos, which obviously are in Tamil, ends up doing significantly better than the rest of the videos,
right,
which gives us this perception that it's predominantly Tamil. But the food is not Tamil. Some of the videos that I do are, because I'm a sort of, people associate me with this. People don't associate me something like a pizza or a momo, and I'm fine with that. But the rest of the chefs, it's not the same. The young girl that we have, she's an amazing baker. And there is one guy from Telangana, who makes a lot of Andhra recipes. There are people who can speak good Hindi. And Sanjana ensures that most of her videos are in English and it's North Indian food and international food. So we are consciously putting effort to ensure that there is a balance between languages as well. We keep Tamil as minimal as possible. And the choice of recipes also spread across different cuisines.
Right. So maybe we can have different channels for different languages?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know on Instagram whether that would be the right thing to do. On Instagram, we always thought that let's have one thing and keep it going. We didn't want to have two or three. But on YouTube, I think we started that effort of having one full-fledged Tamil. But it's just that we were not able to do justice in terms of consistency and the number of content that we were able to put. So probably I would say that we didn't give enough effort to whether
maybe we need a lot more team members and effort to drive
obviously
this,
the
which
effort
is also a very good suggestion that just don't start a new channel for the sake of starting it
if you're not able to do justice to it.
So YouTube Shorts or Instagram Reels,
which is my favorite? Instagram Reels.
Lovely. Do we upload the same reels on Shorts too?
Yeah, we do. But we create exclusive content for Shorts as well.
Okay.
Like, you know, I mean, obviously, the kind of audience you have on Instagram and YouTube is slightly different. I don't mean to say which is... I don't want to get into details and classifying. For some reason, the content I do, well, I do works almost the same on both platforms. But a content with female chefs does significantly better on YouTube than Instagram.
Wow.
I don't know what's the reason. I don't want to get into the reason also.
But that's everywhere. Even on Instagram, it's always the female chef.
In our case, the same video. For me, it's equal. I would say very close. Instagram always is better than YouTube. But for the female chef, YouTube has a significantly higher engagement rate.
Okay. And I know why.
Yeah. the comments are also about their looks, dress they wear and
oh,
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I wasn't thinking like that. I was just thinking this way because my mom doesn't watch Instagram. A lot of women are very YouTube savvy. But maybe
I don't know. Someone said the stat, maybe if it's right or wrong. YouTube has 65% men users and 35% women. I don't know if it's right or wrong. That could also be the reason behind this.
So on Instagram, what are some of those most important metrics you look at?
Every piece of content that we create, like I told, people should have enough reasons to watch. And the two things that you as an Instagram user and I as an Instagram user do, obviously we like and comment. That's something that we were taught even during the Facebook and Orkut days. So let's forget that. The two most common actions that we do is we share content to our friends.
Right.
If it's relatable, if it's something that you know that person would also relate to, you send it to them. Sometimes you send it to 5-10 people at a time. And the other thing that you do is you save and you start making a collection of your own. This is probably, if I see a video of this, I'll save it in my list called Chennai Eateries.
Right.
So that I could go there and eat this. So we save stuff also. And you have saved collection which you can share it with other people also.
Right.
So the two most important thing is if your content is save worthy, so that someone wants to save it and come back and watch again. And if it's share worthy.
Right. Savable and shareable.
Shareable. And we've seen that the content that has higher number of saves ends up performing well. That doesn't mean that shares are valued lesser. For example, there was one video called Old Monk Chicken Wings. The number of shares was about 1.5 lakh shares. The number of saves were only about 30,000.
Right.
Obviously, no one wants to go buy an Old Monk and make an Old Monk Chicken Wings. But you obviously want to share it with your friends, say that, hey, Macha, see, there is someone who's making chicken with Old Monk. I don't know how it's going to taste. That's a conversation starter.
Right.
On the other hand, if it is a not a koli fry, which is a country chicken fry video, the shares would also be about 1.5 lakh. The saves would also be about 1.5 lakh because the 1.5 lakh people who saved, that's a great recipe. I want to try that recipe. So Old Monk people who saved it probably didn't bother thinking that I want to try it. But a lot of these people... So, both these contents do well, but I feel that it's sort of leaned towards saves
and shares,
then only comments and likes come into play.
Likes is the last thing there.
Yeah.
I think it's largely savable and shareable are the factors.
And the repeat watch also. Like sometimes you also see that number of accounts reached would be lesser. The number of plays would be 1.5 times of that. Which means that they watched it twice for some reason.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of these creators create this loop on Instagram Reels, right? It ends and it looks like it starts and you end up watching it slightly more than...
So shorter content is also one of the ways where people say read caption for more.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
So for us, it's saves and shares.
Lovely. Long format content or short format content? What's the future?
Short format content.
Right. Because
and on social media, short format content, definitely. On OTT services, on other platforms, maybe it's different, but short format content. I mean, personal experience, I've started spending significantly more time than I ever used to. It's not healthy, it's not right, but it's just that you keep scrolling reels and you don't know when you're sleeping.
True.
And it takes a lot of your time.
True.
So I think the future is short format content.
Right. And this is coming from someone who started his journey in long format content,
yes.
And has a 1.5 million YouTube subscribers.
Yes, and also who was hesitant to migrate into the short format content for the first 2 months, where we missed out a lot.
Right.
Whenever the platform is making some changes, whether you like it or not, you go on with it.
Lovely.
That's when you're going to get your engagements, your likes, your shares, your growth. If you're saying, if you think that the same old format is going to work, it's just that you'll be doing the same thing and expecting different results, which is not going
to
happen.
So will you continue to create long format content, or will you shift your focus largely on the shorter format? So
we'll continue to create longer format content as well. We feel that people are still watching it. But even now, the proportion of short format and long format is drastically different, right?
Right.
6 or 7 long format shows, 40, 50 short format content. So that's the number that we post every month.
Right.
So even now, the disproportion shows you an indication of where we are heading towards.
Right. So there's this myth, and the myth is we should not upload shorts on the channel, the YouTube channel, where we have the longer format content. So that's why I see a lot of people have a separate channel for shorts. What's your thoughts on that?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way.
We post shorts and long format on the same channel, and it works. It definitely works. And off late, the shorts are doing really well, but that doesn't mean that long format content isn't doing well.
Right.
I don't think it's a good idea to build two different YouTube channels for this. Even when they launch monetization for shorts and they bring in a lot of things in India also, I don't think it's right to do two channels.
Right.
It's always better to do one.
With 1.5 million subscribers, how much revenue do you guys make on YouTube from advertising?
Honestly, I don't know the number.
Okay.
In our kind of content,
it's not that significantly big. Is your
no, it's not significantly big. Otherwise, I would have known the number.
Right, okay.
It should be somewhere around 2 lakhs or 2.5 lakhs. The reason I also know is the kind of videos that we put out, right? Not all videos are something. For example, a lot of creators at 1 million, they post out about 5 to 7 videos.
Right.
And those videos are different. It's vlogs and stuff. For us, it's basic recipes. Like a basic recipe, like a paneer fry, might not get the amount of views that you want during the first
right.
month.
Right.
So it's skewed towards shorts and videos. So it's somewhere in the range of a couple of lakhs.
Super.
Or slightly more.
Athi, it was a pleasure hosting you today. A lot of interesting insights. I'm sure people are going to watch this. Number one, we'll get inspired by your journey. Number two, there's a lot to learn. Especially I've seen 150 plus videos going viral, crossing 1 million mark. And this constant innovation that you guys do, which means there's a lot of thought process that you guys put in. My biggest takeaway here is every time you make a video, think about why would somebody share this, or why would somebody save this, or why would you do that yourself, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
That's some amazing thoughts there. Thank you so much for coming today. And
thank you so much for hosting me. Like I said, hosting is not just hosting without some nice food. So thank you for serving some amazing food as well. And I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, right? If at all someone had asked me to write down these things, I don't think I would have ever been able to summarize whatever I had in mind.
Right.
That's why I said I like talking. So this whole format of doing podcasts, I think I ended up answering more than what I thought that I could.
Right.
So I also feel good about the whole interaction. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Athi.
Thank you.
So this was Adyen VS, the founder and CEO of Cook TV, who shared some incredible insights on how he achieved fame and success online. Feel free to comment on the strategies that resonated with you the most. Stay tuned and subscribe to my channel.